grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The theme of this year's midweek service is Jesus on Trial. So far, we've seen him before the high priest Annas and before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court. Tonight, we pick up the story where Jesus is taken from the Sanhedrin to the Praetorium, the palace of the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. The first thing of note in the gospel lesson tonight is the crass hypocrisy of the Sanhedrin. They were concerned about defiling themselves on the Passover by entering into the courts of pagan Rome, but they had no pangs of conscience to bind over to the same Romans an innocent man whom they convicted on false testimony, testimony that they themselves engineered. Impious men feigning piety doesn't go very far in my book. And it didn't go very far with Pontius Pilate either. He was the Roman governor of the province of Judea. It was not a particularly rewarding experience for a man like him. He was sent to rule in the name of Rome, a difficult nation to govern. Pilate treated Jewish laws and customs with contempt, as much as the Jews treated Roman laws and customs with contempt. Yet Pilate had to be aware of their customs, and he had to work around them as best he could. Pilate's job was to keep the peace in a part of the world which was not known for being peaceful. So when Jesus was bound over to Pilate, the governor knew full well that these pious-looking men had a wicked scheme cooked up, and they needed his cooperation to pull it off. As far as the scheme was, Jesus had to be executed. Now, why go to Pontius Pilate? Well, Rome gave the Jews a lot of leeway in judging laws, but they didn't allow them to execute criminals. Only the Roman governor could approve an execution. Now remember, there were only citizens of Rome had any kind of legal rights, but in the case of an execution, even a non-citizen had at least that right to go before the governor. So the Sanhedrin was obliged to hand Jesus over to Pilate to have him ratify their guilty verdict and have the prisoner executed. Trying to appear pious and scrupulous as always, the Sanhedrin refused to enter the Praetorium, which is the Roman name for the governor's palace. The Sanhedrin feared that if they went into that building, they would be rendered unclean, unable to do their duties, and unable to have the Passover that weekend. In truth, it wasn't entering a pagan building that defiled them or defiled anyone. They were already uncleaned and defiled by their actions. And no doubt it brought to mind what Jesus earlier said about defilement in Matthew chapter 15. He said, "Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." So Jesus was brought to the Praetorium, but didn't go in. Pilate, not wanting to stir up trouble with the Jews, went outside to meet them. So this hearing began outside. The Sanhedrin had hoped Pilate would just rubber stamp their verdict and then be done with it. They wanted to celebrate the Passover with clean hands, so to speak, and not have to reopen the case of Jesus of Nazareth. But Pilate was just as scrupulous when it came to procedures. Pilate, as far as he was concerned, the Jews could keep the Passover as they wished. He didn't care about that, but he would conduct our Lord's hearing the Roman way, they would need to present the charges. And so Luke records that they did just that. Luke records, they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "It is as you say." Now, Pilate didn't take the accusation seriously, so he brought Jesus into the praetorium, away from the crowds. And there he interviewed him further based on the last charge that Jesus was king of the Jews. Now, one can imagine that Pontius Pilate, Caesar's man in Judea, did not want to have anyone claiming to be a king other than Caesar. Pilate must have been sizing Jesus up, looking at him from head to toe, and with a mixture of scorn, amazement, and pity. We know what Pilate asked Jesus, but we really don't know the tone of his voice. We know he said, "So, are you the king of the Jews?" But we don't know if he asked it in scorn, "Are you the king of the Jews?" We don't know if he asked it in amazement, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Or out of pity, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Well, we know how Jesus replied. "In essence," he asked, "in what sense are you using the word king? If I were an earthly king like your Caesar, I wouldn't have been captured so easily, would I? I would have resisted arrest and my followers would have fought for me. But no, I'm not that kind of king." So Pilate engaged Jesus in some more dialogue. He was at least interested in hearing more. Pilate said, "Then you're a king after all." And again, it's in essence, Jesus told him, "I certainly am, but I'm a king who rules by the truth. And all those who belong to the truth are my subjects." That's about what Jesus was saying in different words. Well, at that, Pilate would hear no more. He had no time for what he perceived was some kind of a religious visionary. So he dismissed Jesus with the mocking statement, "What is truth?" Then he went out of the praetorium to the pious-looking Sanhedrin. Remember, they were standing outside for fear that they would be defiled by going inside. And Pilate told them, "For my part, I can find nothing whatsoever wrong with this man." You know, Pilate wasn't the only one to see Jesus as he was, an innocent man. Herod proclaimed the innocence of Christ by sending him away with a royal purple robe on his back. Judas proclaimed the innocence of Christ by returning the 30 pieces of silver and confessing that he had betrayed innocent blood. Pilate's wife would call Jesus a just man. And even at the cross, a Roman soldier would acknowledge that Jesus was a righteous man, the Son of God. And finally, the thief on the cross himself would declare that Jesus was an innocent man who had done nothing wrong. Just look at all these good confessions of Christ's innocence. But yet he went to the cross without complaint, as a lamb to the slaughter. You see, that's how we know that our sins are forgiven before God. When an animal was sacrificed in the temple in Jerusalem, that animal was innocent of any and all sins. The sins of the people were transferred to that animal. That animal became your sin and was killed by the priest, shedding its blood to forgive you. Well, the innocent Savior became guilty of your sins and mine. And he who had no sin became sin for us and was punished as a lamb, the Lamb of God. Jesus is the true fulfillment of the Passover lamb, the innocent one who took the blame for the guilty. Jesus would hear his innocence proclaimed many times during the final hours leading up to his death for us on the cross. But on the cross, Jesus was no longer innocent. He was guilty of your sins and mine. And the wages of sin is death, And Jesus paid those wages in full by dying on the cross. And he proved that that sacrifice was acceptable to God because he then conquered the curse of death and rose on the third day. It's good to avail ourselves during Lent of these extra opportunities to hear the Word of God. We can't hear it enough. We can't hear enough that Jesus became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We'll now continue with the Canticle on page 231 and then the Magnificat, hymn number 933. Let my prayer rise before you as incense.